We are ready when you are, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Chuck. Well, I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming to this this month's session of our ITAC meeting. While we're still having some folks join in, I'd go ahead and remind the public this is a public meeting. In the agenda, we provide a mechanism for you to submit public comment. Those items will be received by the team and handled for review. So please do take advantage of that if you wish. First item up of business for the committee will be reviewing an approval of the recording of the March 17th meeting as the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the minute recording as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Eddie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. We'll go ahead and move into our consent agenda. Chuck, do you want to introduce that item?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. My name, for the record, is Charles Brown, Director of Engagement Management and Strategic Oversight within ADOA Asset. Before you on the consent agenda is the Department of Public Safety's CGIS applications conversion from mainframe. This is a change request item. The request regarding the change request is to extend the end date to May 31st of 2021. The regular scheduled end date for this project was in December of 2020. It has been in its 10% contingency time period since then. The agency ran into some UAT scheduling issues related to the COVID pandemic, which caused it to push out. And due to timing of when the go live could be scheduled and when we could get it before ITAC, it actually went live over this past weekend successfully. So congratulations to the agency on that. However, we did identify this as an issue for the committee when an agency is in its 10% contingency and running towards a go live, updating the committee. So we've identified another method in which we're going to do that. So in future cases of this scenario, you'll get a 1 to 2 page slide written update explaining why we're in the contingency period so that you can see the item before this scenario where it's actually gone live and we're extending the date. Just a little bit of time to finish off the project and pay some bills. I can take any questions from the committee, Mr. Chairman.
All right, I'll go ahead and ask, are there any questions on that? But okay, if not, I got a little enthusiastic and jumped in, bypassed our roll call. I know that we had verified that we actually had a quorum, but I'm gonna pause for a second. And Shay, would you go ahead and do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Okay, Michael Dobb. Deggie. Brian Kirkland.
I'm here. Sorry, Deggie here.
Oh, okay.
Brian's here as well.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Deggie. Eddie Cook.
Here.
Jeffrey Fletham.
Good try. Jeffrey Fletham, yes.
Thank you for your understanding. Tim Romer.
I'm here. Thanks, Shay.
Thank you, sir. David Byers.
Here.
Thank you. Doug Lang.
Here.
Thank you, sir. Lev Gornick.
Here.
Thank you. J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Thank you. Representative Wynn Nugent. Senator Rick Gray. Richard Stabnick.
Rebecca Pereira here on behalf of Richard Stabnick.
Thank you, Rebecca. Mr. Chairman, we have confirmed we do have a quorum.
All right, thank you, Shay. I also want to take a moment and both acknowledge and announce a change that's occurred. Many of you may be aware that Tim Romer has been appointed to be the Director of Homeland Security, backfilling a former ITAC member, Gil Arancia, who served well not only as the Director of Homeland Security, but also as an ITAC member for some time. So we congratulate Tim and taking on that role, and he has now moved over, filling staying with ITAC, but filling that role in the committee. And Doug Lang will be stepping up to take on Tim's former role in the committee as a delegate from a state agency. So thank you, Tim, and thank you, Doug.
Does Tim get double the pay? I mean,
as always in state government, when you do multiple jobs, you get multiple salaries, right? No, I think we know how that works out. So, all right, we'll go back to the consent agenda. If there are any questions there, I will take a motion with regard to the consent agenda.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Doug. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Eddie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. That carries unanimously. All right, we will move on to first item in next item in our agenda, I should say, which will be the Department of Health Services coming to present on a HANS system transfer.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Haley Greenberg. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Health Services who will introduce themselves now, followed by a brief overview of the project.
Young Tai, Senior Project Manager.
Hi, this is Paula Mattingly. I'm the Chief Information Officer.
My name is Marlene Hernandez, and I'm the director of the Arizona WIC program.
And my name is Taffrey Lowry. I'm the office chief for the vendor and project management team.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Arizona Department of Health Services WIC program is a health nutritional program administered by the United States Department of Agriculture to safeguard the health of low-income women, infants, and children. The DC WIC program has four local agencies, which operate 15 clinics and serves approximately 15,000 WIC participants per month. The current DC WIC program clinic application, known as CARES, is an antiquated system that is not capable of issuing eWIC food benefits, which allow participants to use electronic benefit transfer or EBT cards. The United States Department of Agriculture granted the DC WIC program an extension of their original federal mandate to implement eWIC by April 30th of 2022. DC will be the fifth U.S. jurisdiction that will join the ADHS consortium. At this time, I will turn this over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Haley. And thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for allowing DHS to present the HANS system transfer and electronic WIC implementation for the District of Columbia WIC program. I'm going to hand it off to Mrs. Hernandez, who will cover the next slide.
Thank you. The Arizona WIC program provides a nutrition support program for pregnant women, breastfeeding, postpartum women, to the age of five, and we serve approximately 132,000 participants each month. Please excuse the misprint that says year. It is a month. To do this, we use a tool called HANS, which spells out Health and Nutrition Delivery System. It helps us determine eligibility, documentate the nutrition assessment that takes place, the care plan, and issue food benefits to an eWIC card, which looks like this. The eWIC card has specific foods loaded to it, like specific foods such as milk, cheese, eggs, legumes, whole grains, cereals. Access using a personal identification number, also known as a PIN. So Arizona leads the HANS Consortium. We started out with American Samoa in 2007, and we followed in 2008 with two other islands, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands and Guam, and then 2009, by the Navajo Nation. That's currently our consortium. As Haley said earlier, the Washington DC WIC did not meet the federal mandate to implement EVT EWIC by September 30th, 2020. So now their new implementation date per USDA is April 30th, 2022. So they're going to join our consortium, and they need hands to use that tool to do the same thing we do, determine eligibility and issue EWIC benefits. Next slide, please. Thank you. So we have a memorandum of agreement and a cooperative purchasing agreement that as of today have been signed by both DHS procurement and DC procurement. This is hot off the press, so we are very excited about that. And most of all, what's most important is this is approved, and we have the approval and support from the United States Department of Agriculture, Food and Nutrition Services. So the HANS contract, what we're going to do is add to the scope of work for our contractor, Currier McVabe and Associates, to complete HANS data migration, environment configuration, systems interrogation, testing and user acceptance testing and support, rollout support, and maintenance support. I'm going to turn it back to Mr. Tai, who can talk more about the technology piece. Thank you.
DHS is going to be implementing a specific HANS environment for DC WIC. Next slide, please. This diagram represents the DC HANS environment. This environment is separate from any of the consortium member environments, which eliminates any risk of impacting any of the consortium environments. HANS is a three-tiered application, which includes the user interface, the service, and database tiers. HANS uses .NET Framework version 4.8 on virtualized application servers with an Oracle backend. The DC HANS environment will use stable as-is HANS codebase and will be configured to meet DC WIC's specific business requirements. Next slide, please. So this diagram represents how HANS and the EWIC systems work together. From a technical perspective, HANS communicates with the EWIC system using the 2014 Universal Interface as required by the United States Department of Agriculture's Food and Nutrition Service. HANS sends real-time messages to the EWIC system for account creation, card issuance, and benefit issuance. HANS also sends nightly batch files to update WIC authorized grocery stores, approved foods, and other EWIC files. Now, from a program perspective, services are provided in HANS, and food benefits are issued to the EWIC system. So once that happens, the WIC participant receives an EWIC card and PIN, and they can purchase foods from the grocery store. So the transaction is processed at the grocery store using in the EWIC system, and then data is passed back into HANS in real time. Next slide, please. DHS will be responsible for project management, vendor contract oversight, managing stakeholder expectations, user acceptance testing and implementation, including pilot and statewide rollout. The vendor is responsible for data migration, planning, testing, and execution, as well as training and support during the user acceptance test. The vendor is also providing on-site support during rollout, plus help desk support, including second and third level support. The shared responsibilities between the agency and the vendor include managing the project work plan, as well as configuring the HANS environment. Now I will pass the presentation to Mrs. Lowry. Next slide, please.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the structure of oversight. We have our executive steering committee, and that is led by the ADHS leadership, and they're going to provide guidance support to ensure that the project and that it stays within budget. We also have oversight by our project sponsor, the DC WIC director, the ADHS applications manager, asset PMO, and then we have governance by ITAC, as you will, ITAC provides the state of Arizona the authority for ADHS to begin the project. And then we also have governance by USDA Food and Nutrition Services, and they give us the authority to begin the project from the federal level. And we actually did receive the federal authority approval back in February of 2021. So in way of project management, we have three project managers. We've got a program project manager, and that project manager will oversee the program subject matter experts, specifically related to the finance and training, which are two very large components of this project. And that project manager will also oversee portion of our contractors, which is the HANS contractor and the EWIC contractor. On the DC WIC side, we have a DC WIC manager who will oversee their subject matter experts in procurement, finance, vendor, and their local agencies. And then our overall project manager is going to also oversee those vendors for HANS contractor and EWIC contractor, as well as ADHS operations with the application infrastructure procurement and the WIC help desk. Next slide, please. I'll turn it back to Mr. Tai.
Thank you. So the first two milestones are critical to the starting of the project. The HANS contract amendment includes the scope of work for the HANS transfer data migration and implementation services. This is estimated to be completed by June 1st of 2021. The DC WIC EWIC contract for EWIC implementation, processing, and support services has an estimated completion date of July 26, 2021. Then HANS environment setup, HANS data migration planning, and the EWIC task will take place starting April 30th, 2021 through November 14th of 2021. Following that, the HANS user acceptance testing will be a full end-to-end test, including data migration, EWIC benefit issuance, and reconciliation. And that'll take place from November 17th, 2021 through January 25th, 2022. Following UAT, a pilot will take place in a single DC WIC local agency, and that'll include all of the DC WIC authorized grocery stores. DHS will be on site during the first week of pilot. The first 2 days will be a refresher training, followed by rollout plus 3 days of on-site support. Following approval for statewide rollout will take place in two groups. The first group will take place during the week of March 7th, and the second group will take place during the week of March 14th. The approach for the on-site training and support will be the same as pilot. 2 days of refresher training, followed by 3 days of on-site support. Then we have final invoicing to account for all the project costs to be completed by April 30th of 2022. Next slide, please. This project has $1.73 million in development costs. The majority of the development costs are in professional and outside services with $1.54 million. This includes the HANS contractor and temporary personnel costs. There's approximately $104,000 in licensing costs, which includes the Oracle and Dynamsoft licensing. There's approximately $82,000 in other operational expenditures, which includes training materials and travel for the DHS team to the District of Columbia for training support, DC IT support, plus DC grocery store testing support. There is $1.3 million in operation costs over the five-year period. The operational period will begin at the end of FY22. These recurring costs include professional outside services, which includes the HANS maintenance and support, and licensing, which includes the Oracle and Dynamsoft licenses I mentioned earlier. In FY22, there's $60,000 in operational costs. Then in FY23 through FY25, there's $413,000 annually in operation costs. Next slide, please. 100% of the $3.03 million budget is federally funded. The United States Department of Agriculture Food and Nutrition Service has provided 100% of the requested budget and the authority to begin the project. This project will not include any state of Arizona specific funding. I'll hand it over to Mrs. Hernandez to discuss the project benefits.
Next slide, please. Thank you. So overall, this will save the state of Arizona WIC program money. We will have lower maintenance costs with HANS and the EBT system, so that's a plus. We'll have better future opportunities to obtain federal grants as a HANS consortium. And we'll also be able to share best practices between WIC programs of how to better serve the community. And so that is always something to look forward to in a partnership of how to better serve your community. So how will we know this is a success? This will improve the participant experience. Right now in DC, as Arizona did one time, they have these big bulky checks that just flash, I'm on assistance, and they list all these specific foods people need to get, and it's a use it or lose it mentality. Using the card decreases the stigma of needing assistance for food. And it also helps the cashier out at the grocery store. And the participant also has flexibility. They have 30 days to use their benefits. So if they just need a gallon of milk today, and then maybe next week they need two, they can go to the grocery store. They can divide and conquer using their benefits. This also helps the grocery stores get paid quicker, reimbursed. They get reimbursed the next day, which is a benefit for local businesses. We have extensive data with our EGA card. We have real-time data of when foods are purchased. We have better fraud identification, better reporting, and better finance management. Everything, because it's live, we can figure out what's going on and make better calculations. This also improves remote services. So when you have a pandemic and things come up, if somebody has this card and we need to add their benefits, they don't have to be in the WIC office to have them issued. We can just log on to Hands and issue them remotely. That's especially, we couldn't do that with a check. Somebody would have to come back in. And so this will really save burden on WIC staff time and participant time. Also, checks were treated like cash. They could not be replaced if lost or stolen. This little card, we can put a hold on it and cancel it. It's no longer good, just like a debit card, and then issue a new one if somebody loses their card or it's stolen. So these are lots of great benefits for the DC WIC program. Next slide. I'm going to turn it back over to Mr. Tai.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee for allowing DHS to present on the health and nutrition delivery system and EWIC implementation for the DC WIC program project today. What questions do you have for us?
Okay, we'll turn it over to the committee for any questions. Mr. Fleetum.
Yes, I have a question. I was, thank you, by the way, for the presentation. I was noticing that your UAT is during a major holiday time, over Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Is that going to be problematic in getting the process done through that time, in that time frame?
I do not think that would be an issue. We plan to use Stable Hands code base. It's already interfaced with the EWIC system. It's just a matter of testing to make sure that the data from the existing care system is mapped and is working properly. So I don't think having a UAT period over the holidays would be an issue. Granted, we've allowed for about 2 months to complete the user acceptance testing. Okay. So that allows for some time for people to be unavailable every now and then.
Okay. I just know in my agency, we had some difficulties running some of that stuff over holidays. And then just one more question. It may or may not be relevant. Do you have any plans to move the systems from Iron Mountain into cloud hosting at all?
Yes, that's a good question. The agency is looking into upgrading the technology for Hands in the future. In fact, that's something that we're actively looking at right now. And while we're doing that assessment, we plan to look at different hosting options, including hosting in the cloud as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Byers, and then Rebecca, we'll get to you.
So am I understanding this right? Arizona runs this system for members that join the consortium? Is that the?
That's correct. Arizona is the lead agency. We handle all of the system maintenance. We handle all of the software releases. We work together with the entire consortium to prioritize the bug fixes, the change requests, and then we do end-to-end testing. Our team is staffed for that. And so those are the services that we provide to the consortium.
And so do the consortium members pay portions of the cost to run the system so that Arizona's cost is less?
Yes, that's... Apologize. Yes, that is correct. ADHS has contracts with each of the consortium members to pay quarterly fees to cover operational costs.
So this is similar to what Access does with Hawaii, where they run the Hawaii Medicare system. So, okay, thanks. That answers my questions.
All right, go ahead, Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is more programmatic. Marlene described all the benefits of the electronic card being that it's less likely to be lost. It used to have all of those printed items to receive, but if you only wanted to buy one, you had to forfeit the rest of the check in order to buy the milk that was recommended as the nutrition. I'm interested, since you've rolled this out in Arizona, and I actually think I remember the project when you came before the committee, what was your experience in getting clients to see the changes, and how would it work? How did they know what to buy? Because I believe the WIC program is like different than SNAP benefits, where there's more nutrition focus and it's a little bit more holistic towards the family. So how do clients know? And then what kind of experience are you going to be providing to DC in onboarding them onto this process?
Great questions, Rebecca. So we have a food list. I'll hold it a little closer. Sorry, it's a little blurry there. I'm blurring out my background. That's also available on an app that Arizona created. It's called the EZ, like Elephant Zebra, WIC app, where people can scan UPCs and see if it's WIC approved. It's magic. It's wonderful. And so that has really helped with our participants knowing what to buy. They also are given a list that shows them what their family balance is. So it shows them how many gallons of milk, how many ounces of cereal, how many ounces of whole grains, how much dollars in fresh fruits and vegetables, so on and so forth. They've had, they love this. They love the card. It is so much better than checks. It's made the experience going to the grocery store a lot less, I'll say painful, because sometimes it could have been with just getting poor customer service. You know, if you're just sliding a card like everybody else, you're not singled out, and you have a better experience at the grocery store. I think I answered. Did I get all of your questions? Okay. Thank you.
I have a follow-up question to Rebecca's, which is, do all the members of the consortium, do they use that same EasyWIC application? Are those same benefits all extended to them as well?
Yes.
Great. That's good to hear. All right. Any other questions from the committee? Okay. If not, I'll turn it back to Haley.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that the PIDGE be approved with the following two conditions. Should the development costs exceed the approved estimate by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDGE to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA ASSET and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Number two, prior to providing vendor access to state data, the agency shall work in collaboration with ADOA ASSET to ensure that appropriate security controls are in place to protect state data. And that was it.
All right. Any questions from the committee with regards to those conditions? If there are none, I will go ahead and entertain a motion with regard to the project.
So moved.
Thank you, Lev. Do we have a second?
This is Jaggi. I am seconding.
Thank you, Jaggi. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Health Services team. Okay, we will move on to the next segment, which we have two informational updates. These are non-voting items. First up will be the Department of Education giving us an update on their progress with the school finance payment system.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins, and I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I am joined today by members of the Department of Education who will now introduce themselves and then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their school finance payment system replacement project.
Thank you, Jacob. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Satish Patisapur. I am the Chief Information Officer at Arizona Department of Education, and I'm here to provide an informational update on the project for school finance payment system. Can we move on to the next slide, please? Thank you. As you can see, the overall project health, we have been maintaining it in green. I'll quickly walk through at a very high level on this slide, and in the next slide, there is more detail that I will be talking about. Schedule is pretty much on par. We are doing a pretty good job in terms of meeting the milestones or scheduling demos and whatnot. So you can see that there is a lot of activity on the milestones. There are a few releases already into UAT, which we'll touch on the following slides. Budget was cautiously maintained in a yellow state for several months. And as of the most recent IVNV update, it was turned into green because there's been traction and the process is working out in terms of the spend and actuals and projections and whatnot. That is a change from the last update. We used to have a yellow spot, which has been completely turned into green. Well, going back to risks, there is only one risk, that, like the same way last time too. And luckily there have not been any issues yet. We can move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. We divided this into multiple sections, namely three. One is for the document review and milestones, completions and approvals, as well as meetings and communication. Last time, I think it was March 21st timeframe, I guess, or March 23rd, I think. In the last ITAC, I provided an update that we are going into a document review committee meeting on the Friday. And we had a successful committee meeting, and all the documents that were submitted have been approved. And in the same way, there were several documents between then and now have been released to tech advisors. Some got approved, and they are about to be presented in the next document review committee meeting. From the milestone point of view, there are several activities. Very quickly touching on, I think last time when I talked, the slide deck said we will be releasing into UAT called release number two, but by the day I announced, by the day of the ITAC, it was already released. In the same way, release three has happened already into UAT, and there is quite a bit of activity in terms of milestones being achieved, and also several demos. Like I think there are, if I recall correctly, there were two successful demos that were made to the stakeholders and asset. Going on to meetings and communications, I think I should have said it earlier. Friday is our next document review committee meeting, and several documents were already provided to them last Wednesday, I think. Can we move on to the next slide, please? All right. So, I think we started doing this as a separate slide to show the status of where we stand on each release for the UAT. As you can see, I'll quickly touch on the first one. Last time there was, total number of test cases across all features is 248. It's in the middle of the screen for everyone. Last time when we presented it was 153, I think, and the line above said 53, and there was a question about it. If you notice, while the UAT testing is in progress, there are several new test cases that the business is coming up with, and whenever they are passing or there is an update, that these stats are getting updated. In the same way, release two, out of 69, 47 have been successfully completed, and things are moving smoothly. I think there will be release three. I don't know whether we can fit in this sheet. Probably it will go to the next one in the next ITAC meeting. Moving on, can we move on to the next slide, please? During the ITAC presentation last time, there were a couple of questions that we got. One of them is related to that 153-53 thing that I was talking about in the previous slide. Is there a correlation? I think it came from the chairman that out of 153, 53 were done. That means, are you done with one third of the UAT. But actually, no. The number of test cases went up to 248 for just that release. So there's no correlation. It is for that release, there are so that much work that was done until the time that we created the slide deck. Okay. So the numbers are there to grow is what I wanted to say. And then moving on to the next one, one of the questions from one of the committee members is that any impact of the new American Rescue Plan on the project. And there's a huge passage. I'm not going to read the entire thing. It's basically the short answer is no. And we were contacted by ASSET to provide additional details for the committee. So worked with the administration and school finance to come up with the paragraph over there. If there are any additional questions on that, we have school finance associate superintendent Lyle Friesen on the call. So that's about those two questions and updates related to them. And next slide, yeah, question and answers.
All right, thanks, Satish. Any questions from the committee for Satish? Mr. Byers, I see you have a hand up.
Sorry, that's from the hand before. On the
okay, all right. anyone else have any questions then? I did have one, Satish, I apologize if I missed it on, I think it was slide 4. It looked like you had the three releases. They were pretty tightly scheduled. Did the release 3 happen on schedule on the 19th?
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think it happened on the 9th. What is 19th? If you allow me 1 second. Yeah. So IT released it. I think there was a meeting program area business yesterday to get the confirmation that it was released to them. It's basically release happened, but program area confirmation came yesterday, if I'm not wrong.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I checked on that before, like early this morning to make sure that we're on track and release happened, but not program area confirmation yesterday, so.
Okay.
And program area is on the call if there is any additional stuff that they want to add. All right.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? If not, thank you, Satish. Great update. Best wishes for continued success.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. Okay. Our next item up will be an informational update from the Department of Child Safety with regards to the recently launched Guardian project. Or I should say Guardian system.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name again is Jacob Crimmins. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined today by members of the Department of Child Safety who will now introduce themselves and then provide the committee with a informational update to the overall status of their child's replacement project, also known as Guardian.
Thank you, Jacob. Hi, everybody. My name is James Dean. I am the IT Program Management Office Manager and Finance Manager for the program for Guardian. On the line also is Matthew Grant, who is the Deputy CIO and current Acting CIO, as Linda Roberts left a couple of weeks ago. And also joining us on the call is Robert Navarro, the Assistant Director of Budget and Finance for DCS. So if we move on to the next slide. So right now, the project specifically, we have moved the project to yellow. Our scope is well defined. We know exactly what we need to do in order to finalize and close out this program. Our budget is still green and showing on budget within variance. Our schedule is the one thing that we're monitoring right now. The two active remaining pieces of scope for the program to close out is the reporting. Process that we're going through now and getting all of our reports completed and getting those issued and going live. as well as the decommissioning of the old legacy system known as Childs. So because those two things are getting towards the end of the current end date of June 30th of this year, we're actively monitoring those. If things take a little bit longer, then there would be a need to extend the program a little bit further, but we're keeping an eye on those actively as go by. Also, when you're looking at this and you're looking at yellow, this is specifically for the program for Guardian. We've broken out this slide deck now into our program health, which you see here, and then we also have a separate section for maintenance and operations, which is separate from the program, but we know how important this is for a lot of our stakeholders, so we want to make sure we keep that information flowing, even as we get through the program and getting that ready to close out. So next slide. So we were on consent last month, so there weren't any open items. We did have some questions sent over to us, and we addressed those in later slides. But a lot of progress has been made, that we have been in the warranty period. That actually ended in Sprint 10, which was the most recent patch, which was released this week. So yay. So our warranty period, we're kind of out of that. That warranty period was defined as all of our SEV 2 bugs that were also defined in the warranty period, and SEV 1 and 2 would be completed so that we could successfully close out of this warranty period. So we're still continually monitoring the entire system for bugs and data issues. As those come up, they get triaged, they get reviewed, they get prioritized, and then they get put into our next sprint based upon prioritization to be billed and released. We're consistently resolving about over 40 bugs a week through the current patch and deployment process. So the process is moving exceptionally well for pulling in those bugs, triaging, finding out which ones need to go out and getting those out. So we're on a weekly sprint cycle right now to keep up with, to keep ensuring that the program gets updated and remains stable. Reports creation is still absolutely a critical focus for the program. That's been a hot button since before we went live. So that is still where the main focus is to get those internal reports that DCS uses up and running. We are making progress with that every single day, but that is our main focus as of right now. As it always should be, the business is who is driving the prioritization of those requirements and bug fixes. The system is there to support them, so we continue to ensure that they have all of the information that they need to properly prioritize those outstanding items. They help us groom the backlog on a regular basis. And that is what is then selected to be put into each sprint that then gets released on a weekly basis. The system architecture is still stable, so that is a wonderful thing from a technology standpoint. And again, our summary of the focus areas is still business stabilization through those bug fixes, the delivery of the reports, and then as we see fit, as we get comfortable, any type of process improvement to help make things better. There are no questions here, we can move to the next slide. So this is kind of a new slide that is switched over to our maintenance and operation mode. So we've always had a heat map for our project. Well, pretty much that's all green other than reports. So this is our maintenance and operations heat map. So this is driven by the business and the criticality of things. As you can see, the bottom line is reporting, which is where you see all of the red. We monitor this and we work with the business in order to basically attack what items are the most critical at any given moment. And as we move through and work with them, you'll see the colors change from maybe red to orange to yellow to green. But this is kind of the way things look, broken up by the business area as well as the lead, so that we know who that we're working with. We've made a lot of progress. The portal issue that we once had has been reopened, and we've already sent out over 2,300 registrations sent. The electronic invoicing with providers continues without disruption. And so with those, the register and the portal invoicing process is now planned to start in May. So all really good movements in a positive direction as we work through all of the bugs that have been assigned and getting the system supporting the business as best as possible. So what you see here is kind of our management of those bugs and by severity. So you'll see kind of on the left side that bug cumulative total. You'll almost see kind of like they're working together. So as we resolve them, but we are opening up bugs, which you would with any solution. The train tracks are kind of deviating a little bit, generally showing that we're opening more bugs than closing. But that's not the entire story. The main focus is we're opening far less SEV zero bugs, which have to be fixed right immediately. So that tells us that we're in a great position to switch over to maintenance and operations, because all we're opening are those lower severity bugs that don't necessarily cause any immediate pain or harm for the business to get their job done. So all that is working as expected. And all that stuff is managed really well by the business and the group doing all of the all of those fixes. Finally, so for some project updates from a bug perspective, this is as of April 9th. This would look totally different if we opened it up today. But you can see that we've opened up across all severity. So that's 0 through 4, regardless of when it was identified, over 1,000 bugs. Of those, we've closed almost 600. There's 360 that are still open in various severities. And with that, you can see how all that moves through the process. You'll see below that the sprint 7, 8, and 9. So how many are bucketed for each of those sprints and how many were closed out within each of those. And just like with anything in agile development, depending upon the prioritization, if things change, we'll close out as many requirements as we possibly can or bugs. And then if there are any left over, they get reprioritized and moved to a later sprint if need be. But the team has done an outstanding job in keeping up with items that come in and prioritizing them. And, closing over 60% of the outstanding ones, as we see here, is pretty phenomenal since go live. Next slide. Okay, so we did receive a couple of questions. So the next two slides are kind of centered around those that we received to make sure that we're providing the information that people are looking for. So from a reporting standpoint, we have made an absolute concerted effort to update and increase the resources for the reporting team. So we have a team, and that team is here, and it is working diligently on reports to get up to speed and start pushing through those. As they move through development, we do have some out for business validation, and that will continue to increase as we gain steam, as that team comes together and starts coalescing and working on all of these items. Data mappings for intake and assessment are fully complete, so that's great. One of the main items is the data mappings are not as clear cut, just because child welfare is a very difficult item to work with on data and how that works in comparison to other areas. And we're also planning on doing as much automation for our operational data store as planned. The more we can automate, the faster things can move through, the better testing we can do. So automation is definitely a key part of anything dealing with reports. And there are daily sessions to validate the queries that are created so that the information being pulled is correct. And all of that goes through several checks all the way up until we go through business validation to make sure that the report that is made is what is actually expected. From a maintenance and operation transition perspective, there have been numerous knowledge transfer, so KT stands for knowledge transfer sessions. All of those, they're done in these meetings. Those meetings are recorded, and we have a complete video library of all of those knowledge transfer sessions. There are teams in place and that are being built for maintenance and operations to kick into high gear. And that's all planning to complete this month. And that's actually going very well. So it's a whole new organizational structure for how the maintenance and operation will continue. You saw previously we've closed over 500 bugs. We're very confident now that we're not opening up any of those SEV 0 and 1 bugs that after Sprint 10, which ended this week, the warranty period is successfully able to come to an end, and now we can transition to maintenance and operations. As it should be, as I mentioned a couple of times, that business prioritization for the work, they do all the prioritization for each sprint. And then, of course, on a regular basis, they also work to groom the backlog of items. That way, if there are any higher priority new requirements that have to come in for any given reason, those can be prioritized and groomed correctly so they can be slotted for any given sprint. System accesses, understanding there was a lot of discussion around those. So the two highest system accesses that we were aware of, so the Auditor General and the Ombudsman have received direct remote access into Guardian, so they have access to get the information they need to successfully complete any items that they're working on. And I believe there's one more. So payment processing. So we're always utilizing the heat map to focus on stabilization. The adoption payments for February, March, and April have all been processed. Foster and kinship caregivers were paid for January, February, and March. And March payments are on track since there's always, you know, from the timing of the creation of these slide decks, we're in a different time period. But all of those items are on track. The contracting providers for processing. So all that is actually going faster and faster as things move forward. So that's really great news. And any pending items caused by the data migration. So all of that, they're in the process of getting cleansed. So anything that catches up, it goes through a process, it gets cleansed, everything gets worked through, and then it gets closed out as quickly as humanly possible so that there is little delay impossible in ensuring that those payments are going out on time. And then all the bugs that we have, there were a couple that were, once they were resolved, it'll greatly assist in moving more of the payment processing business into green. So with all of those going on, payment processing, which we know might have started out a little bit bumpy, is in a really good spot right now, and all of our payment processing has been caught up. So really good news there.
All right, any questions from the committee? Mr. Byers.
Yeah, James, you mentioned that you've been able to provide access to the Ombudsman and to the Auditor General. You didn't mention the foster care review boards. Do you know the status of that?
Yes, and actually, Matt, I know you know a bit more about this if you'd like to provide the information to the members and the committee.
Sure. So we've done a concept with them, showing them how we're able to deliver the documentation that they need to review without them having to even access our system, and making it much simpler for them and automating that delivery on it through our OnBase system and a product called ShareBase that will actually deliver it to them. So we've got that. We're just working on some final pieces for getting it through all of our testing, and then we'll go and see where we'll involve them, and then it'll be released into production on a normal schedule.
And there is a piece of legislation moving through the legislature that memorializes in statute those access that we just talked about. But I noticed there, I've been told that there's $1.5 million fiscal note on that bill. I've been at the briefings for the review boards, and I can't see how the access you're providing is costing anything like that. Is that up to date, or is that maybe something that's not correct? Because I think when someone came up with the fiscal note, it was before you guys figured out how you were going to do things.
Yeah, that was going to be for a redesign of the portal itself. Mr. Navarro might be able to speak to that a little more. I wasn't involved in some of those conversations.
Members of the committee, Mr. Byers. So yeah, the fiscal note was provided upon the initial need to redesign the entire portal, not upon the current state of modeling. So I believe with the new solution that Matt and the teams have been working on, it would have no, there would be no additional cost. And I believe that has been communicated to the JLBC for updating, but I have not been formally asked for any updated fiscal note on where we're at on the bill as is.
Okay, thanks. That helps because it, what I've seen, I didn't think it would cost anything like that. And I just want to make sure Rebecca, since she's on the meeting today, knows that maybe that fiscal note needs to be updated because I think the final votes on that thing are coming up.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I can chime in, and thank you, Robert, because that was my, you answered my question on this sounded like it's not a complete new functionality. And so I was going to ask about if this document sharing was going to cost anything. From a fiscal note standpoint, we don't always update fiscal notes and fiscal memos. We do on upon request, but I will absolutely share this with my office. And for anything that comes up, we do a lot of bill tracking on bills, regardless of, or regardless of if we do notes on them on the cost. So thank you for that update.
All right. Any other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you, James, and the DCS team. Appreciate your time and for making the effort to answer those additional questions that were brought up since the last session. That was very helpful. A good dialogue.
Right, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to present. We look forward to seeing y'all next month.
Very good. All right, that brings our agenda to a close. Our next scheduled meeting is for May 19th. And we look forward to seeing you all then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we can go ahead and stop the recording and the streaming.